Coming up next is Hemp Rock Radio on
WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Hi, Hemp Rockers. Welcome to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, featuring the Hemp Rock Cafe and Pottsbury Bakery.
Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and Burn Man's 420.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. This is a song about aging. It's a song about getting old. Sometimes it ain't pretty.
She was watching him go back, watching him go back in time. Back to the time they were spending them nickels and dimes. After time, as time slipped on by, as though in these phrases of rhyme, she was watching and waiting and patiently standing in line. Sad is the time in your life when memory fades. Lonely and lost like a hobo out riding the bread. First is the champagne and the cake and a trip to the falls, followed by echoes of tiny footsteps in your halls. Held in life in the face of a shortage of nails. It's like a ship that is sailing into the broad force of a gale. That is gained in the strain of them pine panel walls. Is cast to the wind, can't you see? When Jesus
cast to the wind, can't you see, when Jesus comes.
All right, the Reaper Kings.
Welcome to Medical Marijuana Dispensary Management and Strain Identification.
Great, and nice and healthy.
Jason is well known in Southern California as the Bud Whisperer.
The flower itself hasn't been burned, it's just been coming through the leaves.
He encourages dispensary personnel to play, what is it, a guessing game.
It's one of my favorite strains. This is the Bob Marley's Lamb's Bread.
Oh yeah.
The wide variety of cannabis available.
Edibles, hybrids, indicas, sativas, waxes, hash.
Can be confusing.
Not only are there thousands of strains, but every grower produces different versions of the same flower.
Probably grew to 5 to 6 feet tall before it actually flowered.
As a dispensary manager, it is imperative that you acquire the best cannabis available.
This series will help you identify and assess several popular cannabis strains and products.
Taking you behind the scenes at marijuana dispensaries around the U.S.,
this series will help experienced and novice cannabis professionals design and execute an efficient business and legal strategy.
It is valid.
To order your copy of Bud Tending with Jason, the Bud Whisperer, Dispensary Management and Strain Identification, Lesson 1, call 1-800-753-2240. That's 1-800-753-2240. Order online at CannabisCareerInstitute.com.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse the Ohio Rights Group and the Ohio Cannabis Rights Amendment.
Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right. Hey, it's the Happy Hemptress. It is now Tuesday. We are at the Hemp Rock and WEED Radio Network studio headquarters, right in the studio. And this is a follow-up still after the Ohio Rights Group had their rally on Fountain Square. It was October 13th. And Cheryl Schumann was the headlining speaker. And there's other folks that came in from out of town for this tour to check in with Cheryl, see what's going on with the tour and what's going on with her. And so one of those folks is my special guest on this segment of the Ohio Rights story, rally story, John Veit. And we met him down on the square. We found out that he is with the Cannabis Career Institute, and we went, come play with us. And so I am pleased to say that he's here to have this quick interview and get his story on what's going on with the Cannabis Career Institute and other things that he does. So let me introduce John Veit. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me here, Lynn.
Thank you. And so I want to get your story. So first of all, you know, I'm a fan of the Oaksterdam University. And I also have to add that we have a, I'll just say she can be my special co-hostess today. Stacy Tice, thanks for sticking around and joining in, because I want to get your take as well. She was one of the speakers at the rally on this past Sunday. You are the niece of Gary Shepard, who was killed in Kentucky in 1993 by the Kentucky State Police, and the CannaSense and the Cannabus driver, everything. And so thank you for joining in. And so I'll pick your brain a little bit, but you're going to also be my co-hostess today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. So And she is, and it's one of the reasons why I want her to sit in with this, is because she is not only a graduate, she is also a valedictorian of Oaksterdam University. And you guys are kind of doing similar stuff, but in a touring kind of way. And I likened it to, in a conversation with us earlier, that it's kind of like the guys that want to teach people how to go flip houses, and you got to learn how to go buy the house and fix it up real quick, flip it real quick, make money, especially in today's market. This is really big right now. And you see these infomercials late at night telling people to come to their seminar at a local hotel in the conference room, and it's a couple of $100, and they teach you how to do this. People are making millions of dollars learning this kind of stuff. And so I think it's the same thing with the Cannabis Career Institute, that the folks are coming into the cities, they're teaching, they're doing the seminars and teaching people how to do the business of cannabis, which is so broad. So again, thanks for joining us, John. I appreciate it. And now you're also a freelance writer. You write for High Times as well as?
Cannabis Now, and I write for also Revista Canyamo. It's a magazine out of Barcelona, and they've been around about 12 years, I think, and I've interviewed Noam Chomsky for them and
nice.
Some features, and I write for Cannabis Now and West Coast Leaf. I've just made a little agreement with them. It's been a fun time writing for all this.
Chris and Mickey. Chris Conrad, Mickey Norris, West Coast Leaf.
Exactly, yeah, I know them personally. I was
I do too.
Brought in by another entity.
They have
there.
Sat right in the studio live, and actually they've sat in the studio, I take that back, and Mary Jane and Jake sat right here, and we did a videotape of them telling their stories so Chris and Mickey could take it and give the footage to people doing a video on the damage of the drug war. They were going to give it to Michelle and see what Michelle, the missus, would feel about what's happening to the people in this country. But I was still on the air at WVQC, another radio an actual radio station, for a very short time now, with my show, and we did live down there with Chris and Mickey, as well as in the 90s on the old station that I was on many years ago. So I love these people. They are wonderful, and that's really cool that you're getting to do some stuff with them.
If you do have any West Coast Leaves, the print editions, you should save them, because apparently it's going all digital. Now.
Is it?
So
is it?
The printed version is going to be a relic, unfortunately.
Wow.
Chris and Mickey loaded me up with the last edition, stocked the bus full before we left in April on tour. So they've been distributed everywhere, and I still have a bunch.
Yeah, I've got a
you
bunch downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Right on the...
No, it's rare you can find any magazine that lets writers go long and really explore things and don't have any particular slant one way or the other, but just getting the information out there in as efficient a way as possible.
Yeah, they're great. Well, that's awesome. And there was one other one that you said you write for as well.
I don't remember.
Maybe I just missed it. Okay. Now, there's also the Marijuana Trip. It's a series of books and videos. Tell us about that.
Well, when I write stuff now for Revista Canyamo, I shoot a lot of video and I go on these trips. Like I went to Dixie Elixirs and met a grower up in Paonia, Colorado, where Terrence McKenna is from. And so when I have all these videos, I cut them together and show them in class to people who are trying to explore the marijuana business and get a more tangible idea of what it's like inside these small, large grows, infused products factories. These people that have publicly traded stocks, interview them about, you know, what's the real financing behind all that. It's basically that. Marijuana Trip is just I just sell them like a zine. And
nice.
I have a little web series on my own webpage.
Nice. So it's also part of what the Career Institute uses in the classes also?
I have a really kind of unique role at Cannabis Career Institute.
Yeah, well, tell me about that.
I mean, I basically just talk about my life writing about and selling in California cannabis. So in the process of me writing all these stories, I'm meeting all the top players in the industry, and I've been writing for High Times since 1992.
Nice.
So I've already known a lot of these people and watched all this stuff develop and change, and it's just been a fun ride so far. So
wonderful. Just out of curiosity, you know, I haven't ever actually had a prescription or subscription, I should say. Some would say you need a prescription for High Times, but a subscription. But, you know, over the years, I've seen a lot of them and stuff. I'm just curious if you can think of a few of your stories that you had running there years ago that maybe somebody might remember and that kind of stuff. Just curious.
Well, there's the first Noam Chomsky interview. That was 1997. A lot of people might have read that. And my beat was primarily the international drug war correspondent in the 90s. Like I wrote about Kazakhstan hemp, CIA, DEA selling coke to America during the 90s. I did a profile about a CIA agent or DEA agent who got after
America.
Basically, after reporting that all this coke was being sent to Arkansas in the 90s, they demoted him to dead tour and put a tie-dye shirt on him and made him bust acid heads in parking lots. So,
Mena, Arkansas airport.
You know, hip-hop people might have read my story about a box of pot being discovered in a box of Phillies blunts, and then that ripped the lid open on how they were targeting blunts to kids, so they switched the names from blunts to sports. What else was in there? There was a story about a Guatemalan refugee camp, and the army was growing pot on the where the refugees were supposed to get repatriated to, and they had to wait for harvest to get the UN to let in to let these refugees, you know, live in their refugee camp because the army was selling pot. Went to Cambodia and did a story about how Cambodia uses pot as a means of, you know, keep their economy going. And, you know, one of their ministers, I forget what department, was caught with a boat full of 220,000 tons of pot on it, or pounds or something. It's pounds or tons, one or the other. And he was like, prosecute me, and you better wear a steel helmet, you know, and he got away with what he did, and it's just been, it got kind of boring, and I left that world in the late 90s and just went and was playing music and making movies and just trying to only do creative things, because it's the same story over and over again.
It
the U.S. comes, they hire the thugs and the meanies to sell us cheap bananas or whatever we want, and the drugs flow to America, and people get locked up here. It's depressing.
It's, see, Stacy and I were just talking about the same topic, that, you know, all we have to do is, when we get up, look at our email, and we have lots of reasons to be depressed. And it's just an issue that we feel, and I know you feel the same thing. You feel like even doing the work and covering these stories, especially, opens us up to that. I feel that too, because I have to know this information too in order to do what I do on Hemp Rock Radio. It makes you feel like you have the weight of the world, because you can talk about it, but you feel helpless. And, you know, and I've always added to that, that's one of the reasons why we need marijuana.
It's like you can't move fast enough.
Right.
There's not, even if you live on a few hours of sleep a day and you give up, you know, there's not, you just can't move fast enough. You know,
to stop.
That's why it's like so maddening, you know, the need to get people, more people active and more people into the truth and stuff, because we, you know, we're big and we're growing, but we can't do it all as fast as it needs to be done, you know, because we're talking about catching up. This should have been, shouldn't have even happened, let alone taken this long to get it out, you know.
That's right. Yeah, and I know that's part of what a lot of people will tell you, why Gatewood kind of lost the oomph that he had of the last election, and it allowed the pneumonia to take him in that state of mind, I think, because it does get depressing. And he's been working since college and started his political career in 83. For ag commissioner.
I believe he's still working now.
Oh, I do
experiences
too.
Oh, on the bus. I have felt him, you know, down at Fancy Farm, you know, and
he's
different
there.
Places.
He hasn't
like,
left.
Oh, his spirit is so alive.
Absolutely.
And his legacy is definitely continuing on there. So,
But it's hard to, I think it's hard to see that on this side before you leave, because it does become a depressing situation. So back to that. Yeah.
Well, that story at High Times just got played for me, and I also started working with John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, and started the New York Medical Marijuana Patients Cooperative with a guy named Kenny Tolia. And at John Jay College, there's a group of ethnographers in the anthropology and sociology department, and they do federally funded drug research. So I started working on a report called We Deliver, The Gentrification of Drug Markets on Manhattan's Lower East Side. And we interviewed hundreds of drug dealers, users, all complete anonymity. And basically, if I were to use any of my interviews in a criminal proceeding as evidence, I go to jail for 5 years and I pay a $50,000 fine. So that's the parameters under which these investigations can happen.
So now this is the state of New York.
No, this was a study done, paid for by the National Institute of Justice.
Okay.
For 2 years, $750,000 to have a team of about 8 or 10 of us interview cops, drug dealers, people in prison to track the genesis of how drugs are sold in New York City in the Lower East Side. And we basically went from street corner bags to beepers to cell phones. It did the natural progression. But, I mean, I interviewed exclusively white-collar drug users who were committing felony-level drug transactions. Like, they get an 8-ball for the bachelor party. Everyone pays for it. Guess what? If they're in a different economic situation, busted, lives ruined.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen to those guys.
Nope.
And it's also... it just shows what the damage would be if that were to happen to these guys. All the people that are dependent on them, the PTA, the schools.
The banks.
It would be a you know. So we're able to show that. And we're also able to show that if delivered, like, and there's no other people who don't want to be involved in the drug transaction, aren't involved in it, it's harmless. And it's also too technologically savvy for you to get anything. It'll take too long to tap it and bust it, and then when you hit it, the stuff isn't going to be there. So you're not going to get, you know, it's all the other police precincts around the country read the paper, and they started telling their drug dealers, like, look, we're going to not be so hard on you if you don't stand in front of school with a gun trying to sell crack, like, mm-hmm. and shooting each other like a bunch of idiots. Like Rochester in particular, their police chief and some local gang leaders went to every gang leader and crack dealer in Rochester and said, we know who you are. Come to this meeting at this school. And they said, dumbasses, get one of these. It's called a cell phone. Do your thing. We know who you are already. If one of you starts shooting each other, if there's a shooting and we don't find out who did it in a day or so, guess what? We're shutting all of you dudes down. And the violence plummeted, you know, and it's these kind of police techniques that are bringing crime down, not Giuliani stormtrooper tactics and stuff like that. So it was kind of a natural symbiosis for me to eventually meet Bob Culkin, who runs Cannabis Career Institute, because he wrote the delivery class for Oaksterdam. And he's had
so he kind of was born out of the Oaksterdam University.
No, he's been he sponsored the first smoke-in in Washington, D.C. in 1976.
Oh.
When he was like 13 years old.
So he knows Dana, of course, and the whole crowd of the...
Well, I don't know.
The yippies, you know, who started that. Yeah.
Well, he's more of a rock and roller guy from Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he moved to L.A. to start a delivery service in 1988 and has had that going. So he's like the delivery guy. And in our classes, everyone's like, I want to open a store. And we're like, well, you can establish your patient tree and get your growers and everything else. Like, that's the reason Cannabis CCI doesn't even have a, why we don't have a brick-and-mortar facility. We've looked into it. Well, I mean, what's the point? Because we need to go to the places like Massachusetts, Rhode Island. Like, we like to go right when there's a bill brewing, Illinois. And then you get 20, 30 people, 40, 50 people in a room. All the forms that they need to start the dispensary are there, like, and they get that team together. Like, oh, you're a grower? They talk at lunch, and so then it's not so isolated, and they're not going to get ripped off by all these lawyers and accountants.
So it's a business conference where you get to learn.
Yeah, and you like, basically after 3,000 or so students all over the country,
right?
There's now this network of people who all basically know how to do everything sort of the same way. Like, we had an IRS investigator who retired, and he had been busting medical marijuana dispensaries for years. And he was like, look, these dumbasses basically set themselves up to get raided because they're so arrogant that they're trying to pay themselves inside the context of a nonprofit, you know, with a bank account
Some
for that.
Some nonprofits pay their people.
Well, I know, but basically, in their eyes, they think it's like they're pushing. It's just an easy target.
Nobody's allowed to make any money on marijuana. It's the only commodity in the world, including air and water, that we should not make money on.
Like John, you know, John Davis up in Seattle at Northwest Patients Cooperative, he's a for-profit. He does it his way, and that's groovy. But we just try and tell people how to do it the way that's the most comfortable for them.
Yeah, you know what the difference is between nonprofit and profit? One pays taxes, one doesn't.
Right.
That's pretty much the difference. And if somebody gives you money, it's a tax write-off for them if it's a nonprofit, most of the time. So, and it's different paperwork. That's kind of the only difference. And nonprofit, you know, now, of course, you can have free on Fountain Square, even though they would try to say you don't, but that's a different show. But yeah, it makes you look like it's for a cause instead of just for profit. You're just in it for the money. Look, this is America. It's capitalistic. Churches are exempt, but yet they're making millions. You know, let's face it. We need money in order to survive in this country. If we don't have money, you can't go barter at the grocery store to get food. You got to have money. That's your bartering thing.
I call it the Rhett Butler theory, like from Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
I mean, he was a entrepreneur who sold booze, women, ships,
anything.
Metal parts to the north, to the south. He just anticipated the need and saw the vulnerability and jumped in there. Like right now in Nevada, the woman in charge of reading and deciphering who's going to get awarded a dispensary doesn't know anything about marijuana, apparently, according to the lawyer that teaches at our seminar who consults with her. He's like, how are you going to judge who wins these business plan contests because they're based on merit? And she's like, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. I might just have to do a lottery system. He's like, no, it's in the thing. You have to decide based on merit. So all these people are spending money on these business plans. And in Arizona, they were doing that. And it was going to be merit. And they got overwhelmed. And then it was just random lottery. Like two kids from our class, they were in their early 20s. They just sent in the minimum business plan. Random lottery pick. They have two dispensaries now. In the same area, a woman that we know and helped make a whole business plan, 80 pages, the whole kit and caboodle, seed to sale, all tracked. She did that in several places. She didn't get any.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, but the whole thing's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's just any. So that's what the problem is people don't know how to get involved because the bureaucracy is, I think, beautifully made to be circumvented. Because, like in Colorado, for instance, they started the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division, 100 or so agents, 6-month contracts, no health insurance, retired fish and game dudes, alcohol guys, you know, guys that are in the mountains. And then they're like, learn about marijuana and go inspect an infused grow facility based on these detailed criteria that we don't understand. So they're calling all the big businesses and bothering them. What is this? What is that? Coming into their places, basically having these business people train these people who are overpaid to learn the cannabis business. It's absurd. So the state did an audit. They found all these leased vehicles that weren't being used, a room full of unprocessed applications that could have been generating tax money.
Like yeah.
Boxes of these things, of businesses that have been open. Some of them have been dutifully paying their taxes, but some are like, fuck it, let's get out of here. You know what I mean? I'll just move to another place or back to Ohio. And we are in Ohio, so it does remind me that we've been kind of preparing for if it ever does re-regulate to make it friendly for people here. There's a whole bunch of refugees like John Pardee from Ohio Rights Group. His
Absolutely.
Son had to leave the state. All these families are getting ripped apart
because
of these stupid rules. And what I'm seeing here is the Ohio Child Protective Services. Is it true they have this bounty on pot narking? If you take a kid away and put him in foster care, like you get a... Cheryl Schumann mentioned that on a radio interview.
I don't know. That's something we should check into. But, I mean, you know, most places have a thing where if you give evidence and later there's a conviction that you can get some money. You know,
right?
The snitch programs.
I mean, this is
so. I wouldn't doubt that there is.
For
the kids.
We lived in New York for 20 years, and it was strange. And now in California, marijuana is just normal. There's no stigma about it at all, whatsoever. And so to come back to Ohio where people are paranoid and people are getting busted and just to be in a relationship where...
Now, which part of New York are you talking about?
I was in New York City.
Well, I thought New York City was always getting harassed. Is it just recently that they stopped harassing? Because, you know, with Giuliani's stuff,
they constantly harass. Well,
that's what I mean, the stop and frisk rules that they had going on.
See, our
everybody was getting popped, and they were even planting.
Yeah, they still do that stuff. I mean, well, we have our deal with District Attorney Morgenthau in 1999 with the New York Medical Marijuana Patients Cooperative. Our lawyer just went to his office with our cards that I made and said, look, here's the deal. We have nurses. It was like 80% drug addicts, like who had AIDS and cancer and stuff. Really poor people were our primary clients. Mm-hmm. And so he bought it, dug it, and copied the card and faxed it to every police precinct in Manhattan. So for 2 years, every Wednesday, we were able to sell medical marijuana at various places around the city. But back then, I mean, I was working for delivery services and selling it to everyone that I worked with. You know, I've been selling marijuana since 1983, you know, in a social dealer capacity, which is a whole different classification of drug dealer that is common in places like Brazil and other places. So anyway, I lost my train of thought. Where was I?
New York.
Right. So the patients cooperative.
Yes.
So we had that going for a while. Every Wednesday, you know, people would come in with $5 in quarters and get this crappy weed that we could maybe get. But my friend Dan from High Times, Danny Danko, he donated a bunch of White Widow trim 1 year, and our nurse made these cookies with it. But somebody bought an ounce and sold it to an undercover in Tompkins Square Park. They came back. It got real messy. The cops took the cookies, the money, the pot. They didn't know. You know what I mean? It was just a total mix-up. They didn't get the facts, basically.
Yeah, they didn't get the memo.
So
that's what the DEA said every time they busted a dispensary after Obama said, we're not going to bust any dispensaries. We didn't get that memo.
But the cops ate all but 8 of our 48 cookies.
They ate them?
Well, they said that they took 24. Our lawyer said we had 48. And only 8 made it to the lab. And Kenny...
Eight out of 48?
8 out of 48. And we have affidavits from the patients saying that they saw them giggling and saying, are these pot cookies? And they broke out a bunch of small paper bags from the deli, like
and
beer
split
bags.
Them up.
And split them up and ran off like little kids on Christmas. And so my buddy's in the jail cell, like Barney Miller, you know, where you have like that cops hang and you're in the jail thing.
I'm old enough to remember
take
that.
Out all night long, eyes beat red, because the mix was double the mix. So 18 months later in court, you know, the ADA's like, we have a motion to dismiss. And the lawyer's like, what's the grounds? And he's like, there isn't any, you know.
They got and, eight.
And they go back and forth, and the ADA's like, I don't know, there was some media attention, you know. And the judge's like, media attention? I can't. And the media attention was New York Magazine saying that a new kind of cookie has replaced donuts as the pastry of choice for New York's finest. And it was a little blurb about the cookie.
So this preceded
incident.
The crow nuts, and it was probably the stone nuts, right? You don't know the crow nuts? You can look that up. That's a big fad up in New York now. The crow nuts. Everybody's eating crow nuts instead of donuts. I don't remember, but it's some kind of a new style donut.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm just throwing that, you know, it's the stone nuts.
Right.
Anyway,
so basically whittled away and shut down, and people, it sucks, you know, real bummer.
Yeah.
But
so tell us what the, is the course that you guys do when you come into a town or an area, I know you do radio ads that this class or this stuff is taking place at whatever hotel conference room, and you have a rundown of what happened. So give us a rundown. And let's say Stacy and I are interested in taking your course. Tell us what this course entails, the cost, and its overview, its details, and what we can learn and how it can help us.
Well, it's $249, and that's a lifetime membership, so you can come to any class forever, anywhere.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
You come in and basically it breaks down the 5 things you need to know to be either a patient or in the business at all. Like, are you going to be a patient? Are you going to be a caregiver? Are you going to have a business? Are you going to grow? What are your goals in the business? And then people fill out a form to what's their experience? What are they looking to do? So we kind of have a feeling. Sometimes it's all just patients who've never smoked pot ever, and they just want to get their card, you know. And then sometimes it's 15 guys who own dispensaries and want to start growing a certain way. You know, it goes, there's everywhere in between. So basically, it's kind of basic at the beginning, and we get through that, and we talk about how to make a collective or a cooperative and what the differences between those are and whether you want a for-profit or a non-profit.
So like an orientation class.
Yeah. Like.
And you get, how long does that last? What is
it's 9 in the morning till 7 at night.
In one day?
In one day. And then we have a local activist talk about the laws, local lawyers, growers that we bring in from out of town.
So it's a one-day seminar.
It's a one-day
long different,
seminar.
With different presenters.
Different presenters all day. Day long.
Okay, and you get your lunch break and your medical break or whatever.
Well, I mean, people come and go. I mean, it's hard because, I mean, in Vegas we had 12 speakers, and they were all fascinating, and everyone was really edge of their seat, so we take a lunch break, and then people start talking.
So it's a one-day seminar conference with a bunch of presenters.
Exactly.
Teachers. Gotcha.
Yeah, I could have broke it down like that.
But for $249, you could take whatever classes in that seminar you want, but also road trip to wherever you're going to be and go again.
Exactly.
To whatever classes you want to go in that state.
Like, the reason I know Bob is I was in this band, I'm still in it, sort of, the War Hippies, and one of the guitar players was one of Bob's customers back in middle school in Baltimore. And he told me, you got to meet this guy, he's all into this stuff. And I was working at High Times. I was like, whatever, some other pot hippie guy with a school, you know. And then I went to the class, and I was just so blown away by what I learned. I learned so much in one day about the edibles and the growing and the money of it and how it all works. It just tore the lid off of the mystery behind it, and it made it just really clear. And, you know, I was like, I just moved to town. I'm thinking of, I'm getting my license and buying some stuff up north and taking it down south. He's like, that's cool, you know. Here's a guy you can sell it to. You know, and they give you the phone numbers of everyone you need to help you grow. And basically, it's just trying to get that community going and to keep people from avoiding spending $5,000 on a lawyer and $11,000 on an accountant. When you, I mean, that formula that our IRS guy taught us takes 15 minutes to teach you, and you won't get it anywhere else. And it's really basic. It's just you make a bunch of C corps that either do your plumbing, your electric, or your main one consults your cooperative, your other entity that actually is dealing with the marijuana. You pay that consultant to consult you on how to do your business.
Yeah.
And you make another C corp for your electrician. Then you realize, wow, I have an electrician company that specializes in setting up marijuana grows. So then you take out an ad in the CCI thing, or as a member of our huge collective, we welcome you to come to any city and say, Reefer Man Electric Service, we'll promote you. We want all the people to work together. Yeah. So that's...
I love it.
Just so you know, my friend that passed away a year and a half ago, his name was Chuck Burns, Charles Burns, otherwise known as the Burn Man. He was my co-host on Hemp Rock Radio for a few years, as
sorry
well as
to hear he passed.
Yeah, as well as the guy who ran my Hemp Rock TV division and uploaded stuff on YouTube and stuff for us, as well as public access here and in Kentucky. Before he passed, he had a company for a couple of years, and the website going along with it and everything, of course, it's down now, was 420 Appliance Repair. So yeah, he was pushing that thing just in the name.
It's and, a very intimate thing. I mean, you have a grow, the light goes out, you don't know what to do. Who do you call? I mean, and to have a trusted person who's
And somebody might have been using their dryer to make bubble hash. You never know.
Exactly.
And he would need to fix that dryer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's gunked up in the filters again.
Right.
Just screw this off and pop it out. You know, can I use this? And yeah, the scrapings from
Chuck
that filter
would be sitting
good.
Here giggling, just so you know. So anyway, so with the business aspect.
Oh, I don't know what else to say about it. I just love seeing it happen. Like a woman came into the Burbank class about 6 months ago. I hadn't met her before, but she had apparently come to class a year ago fired from her bakery job. She got the 1-800-EAT-WEED phone number. She passed out cards, and she had this box full of truffles and creme brulee and all this super delicious stuff. You know, and all the other students were like, "Oh, I'm not going to eat that now." But I had done my presentation. I'm like,
Know,
it was delicious. They were so red velvet cake, cupcake, and you know, I'm not a sweets guy, but I can tell this is quality. And she is, her whole life is just that now. She can't make the stuff fast enough to fill
then
her
dispensaries. Pass this on to her, because I recently have decided or have accepted that I have for many, many years been fighting what's called an overgrowth of candida, which is yeast in the body, becomes throughout the whole body instead of just the digestive tract. So that's really the reason why I have changed my diet recently. But what people have to learn is that too much sugar and flours, even the whole wheat flours, but the white flours are really detrimental to our health. And they cause inflammation and all of these things then, including the sugars, we're using the cannabis to try to get rid of the pain. So what we have to learn is to eat healthier, to not only help use the medical marijuana for certain things, whether it's pain or other stuff, but to eat in a way that it helps our body not hurt. So one of the things that I want to pass from you to her is to start looking at coconut flour instead of regular flours.
She had a fully vegan. I mean, it's L.A. You can't have animals in your stuff. If you don't have a vegan thing, you're not.
Wheat is vegan.
I don't know.
Vegans eat wheat.
She had one that met the super latest L.A. expectations of gluten-free organic excellence. But I am right in agreement with you. I don't like sweet stuff. I don't think brownies and cakes and all this stuff.
You can still make those things, but in a healthier way. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's what she was doing.
Even gluten-free, it's going to depend on what flour she's using. Because the mistake that's made is they use rice flours, rice starches, potato flours, potato starches, even corn starch and stuff as the flour base instead of the gluten, which is wheat, rye, and barley. And instead of having a gluten problem, you end up having an overdose of high-carb, high-sugar foods that then not only feed the candida, but also create many other issues with even leading to diabetes, because it's that hard-hitting, bad-carb, quick-carb, high-sugar hit from those types of flours. And so this is just something that I've been learning myself recently, is that coconut flour... almond flour is good, but you got to even limit that because of different reasons that you can look up on the internet. But coconut flour, I have found by watching other people's information, reading other people's, passing it on. Not only is it safe in the paleo diet, which I'm just learning about, people can look that up, the paleo diet. It's low carb, healthy diet. Coconut flour completely passes their stuff, gluten-free, healthy, good oils, the kind that actually help you maintain your weight. And you just have to add extra eggs and extra water. But they're making it into all sorts of stuff, including cakes. Now, there was a recipe I found for coconut flour cake. Somebody said, well, what about the sugar? What if we don't want the sugar? Can we use xylitol? And they came back, yes. I've done it now myself. I've made a chocolate cake with extra organic coconut in it, with the coconut flour, with the coconut oil, with xylitol instead of regular sugar, and used coconut cream off the top of the milk and whip that up with chocolate and stuff and a little xylitol for the icing. Julia, who you've met, she's freaking out going, oh my God, there's like no sugar hit to it at all. So if I had taken the coconut oil and infused it with cannabis, then we have the healthy version of some of these things that the confectioners are making. So that's my aim with Pottsberry Dope Boy, the Pottsberry Bakery, is to teach people how to do stuff like that, but in a healthy way that's not going to give us this high sugar, high white flour, bad stuff hit just to get the cannabis and because it's a brownie. There's healthier versions. So just kind of pass that on to this person, to this baker.
I actually won't do that because I just can't. Living in L.A., everyone has some new food allergy, and everyone has a food trend, and they're all don't use this and don't eat that, and I don't get involved in that, because next time it's going to be you can't eat salt or whatever, or sand, and da-da-da-da. And I know that her stuff that she sells it. It's a veganic and this and that. She meets those healthy parameters. She's using coconut oil in some of the stuff.
Okay.
They all are, you know what I mean? But I encourage healthy lifestyle living. I try to do it as much as possible, but, you know, I just, it's one of these things that kind of diffuses the whole overall thing. I mean, because she knows her market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm in Ohio, veganic, weird cake things, unless I put them in the right place, they're not going to sell. But, pork
that's
rind,
all about marketing,
you know,
of course.
The pork jerky infused with cannabis sold at a truck stop will sell. It's just a matter of finding your market, seeing who your market is, giving them what they want. And I mean, I don't
which is my point, that if she's using regular flours and calling it vegan, I wouldn't be able to eat it.
Right. She's not, I mean, she's not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what she's doing.
I mean, it would still be vegan. I'm not saying it's not. Right. I'm saying it would just be a vegan.
All those terminologies. I mean, if it wasn't edible, it wouldn't be called food.
Yeah.
And I know that in certain amounts, everything can get toxic and kill you. And like, do you know Gary Null, the famous natural
name.
Food guy?
I know who he is.
I asked him once at a book signing, and there's a million New Yorkers there all worried about their what their time they're eating watermelon and blah, blah, blah. And they're all asking these detailed food questions about food combining and all this stuff. And I go, to what extent do you think that worrying about what you eat leads to acute and imagined illness? And he turns and he yells out to everybody, it's the number one killer. You can eat hamburgers and drink beer and live a happy life and live to 100. And he said it to say it to everybody there, that it's your attitude and your life. And there's a million other ways to detoxify yourself if you have a problem. So I'm not going to enjoy wedding cake because it has whatever sugar in it. I'll have a bite. It'll be delicious.
Well, again, moderation is the key. I took a bite of a cinnamon roll earlier. And quite frankly, it tasted like crap after I took that one bite because I'm so used to not eating this crap and the fake good alleged food. But, it's just something that I have seen that we have to understand that within our movement, which is an industry, and that's what the university or the institute is all about, along with other schools like it, is that we are teaching people. So this is my only point, is that one of the things that I have seen that is an issue with us is in the aspect of edibles and medibles, is that they are giving people, like with cancer, brownies with regular sugar and white flour, which we are learning feeds the cancer. So meanwhile, you're trying to stop the cancer with the butter and the oils in it with the infused, but you're giving them stuff that helps the cancer flourish.
That's
so,
exactly what I tell.
That's my point.
If that's your market, you know, then it sucks, but...
Yeah, but
I know that preaching to people about healthy food is important, but that's not my role when they're trying to open up a medical marijuana dispensary, you know what I mean, or something like that.
Well, I'm just saying, to the teacher, she's one of the teachers that's teaching
people. No, she's just a student who came in to donate her cookies to the class.
Okay, well...
You know, but the teachers, I'm not getting in their scene. If they want to make cheeseburgers, we had cheeseburgers here tonight.
Right.
I mean,
yes,
come on.
Now, but
those had,
you know,
steroids and death and mercury in them.
No, it wasn't. It was lard's lean beef. There's no steroids. There's no hormones.
Okay, but
not
I just
in
figured because it came from Kroger, it was
news. There's a few different, in fact, there's four different things I said that they have. They have their select, which is regular, their Angus, which is just another breed of cattle, but it's still supposed to be better than the select. Then they have their simple truth, which is either sustainable, with no hormones, nothing added. That's the Kroger brand now. And then Laura's Lean Beef, which is a cattle company out of the South that has free roaming cattle. They're also, now they say vegetarian fed, but that could still be
right,
feed
you were
corn.
Saying today, it's not, you know what I mean?
But
it's not grass, it's not corn.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't have the hormones, it doesn't have the steroids, it doesn't have all of those things.
What's
and
in
the antibiotics.
Corn? I mean, and then some other hippie will tell you that just
we
eating the meat is wrong.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just where
again,
you,
I'm
where
not a vegetarian
stop,
or
know?
A vegan, and those are different issues. I'm just saying, though, if and because I've kind of gone through this metamorphosis in my own thing, the Pottsbury Bakery, of just having these, you know, luscious gourmet things, and it's so wonderful. Just use the butter or whatever, and it's so tasty and so great. And then I'm starting to go, wait a minute, I'm having these certain issues, so I'm going to try to incorporate what I'm learning to not force other people, but to teach other people that there's a healthier way to do it. and we can still have our brownies, we can still have our cake and eat it too, but in a healthier way. And if we're going to use these medibles and teach people that are sick, if they have arthritis, but they're still, and it might be attributed to too much sugar or starches in their diet, because sometimes it is, yet we're saying, here, eat this brownie because it'll help the pain, but yet it's also flaring up the arthritis.
Look, let me tell you how I really feel about this.
That's the only point I'm trying to make, is that we're the educators. We have to help educate people. There's a better way. That's all.
And I would say it like this. If you are selling cookies with sugar and crap in them and saying it's medicine, you're an idiot. You know, the sugar sucks. The flour sucks. It all sucks. The pot is good. If you want to eat cookies and put pot on it, great. If you want, you know what I mean? But it's not exacerbating diabetes and all the other health problems that happen with sugar and white flour and all that stuff is real.
Yes.
So, you know, promoting that is, I think, disgusting and stupid and short-sighted and hypocritical.
No more disgusting than promoting pharmaceuticals.
Yeah,
but it's just the same.
Yeah. Our movement does do this. You know, candies are the fun thing. You know, and it's all that. And get that.
They're not our movement. They are part of this the world. They're in the movement. They're awesome. They're selling candies.
No, I'm talking about dispensaries specifically movement. Selling it as medicine from the dispensaries. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. But I don't even call it medicine. I just call it a fun candy.
And I'm not saying that these things shouldn't be done. I'm just saying that as educators, we need to say, hey, if you want to do this, as long as you know that there's maybe better flours, better things. But if somebody wants to cook with white flour, they should be allowed to. I'm not saying that
they
shouldn't.
We put it like this. If you are doing an edibles operation, we can put you in touch with people who do it organically and veganically, if you want.
Yeah. Now, I just want to make one more comment. So, see, vegan isn't even the thing for me, because if somebody uses the coconut oil
or
the coconut
flour, or whatever, terminology.
Wait a minute. You have to use eggs in the coconut flour, so that would never be vegan.
No, you don't. Use flax oil or whatever. You don't need
eggs. Crap included in a lot of edibles. You know, even though with the crap, it has gotten many patients off pharmaceuticals, and many people experiencing better lives than what they are currently medical programs or doctor recommended programs. So
absolutely,
some help is better than none, you know, and at least maybe not mixing these horrible foods with all these horrible pharmaceuticals. Maybe that's
absolutely
preventing chemical reactions in itself, you know, that we don't know about because they don't really care to test that stuff either. Yeah. You know.
Let's see. So you started this tour following the Cheryl Schumann tour in Detroit. You decided to were you doing it to cover a story tell us what brought you to Cincinnati?
We did a class in Cleveland about a month ago, and we looked for someone who was doing marijuana legislation. We found John Pardee. Mm-hmm. He came and spoke to the class. He said that he's going to be doing a bunch of rallies. We decided to sponsor the rally. We know Cheryl from L.A., and we came out here, and I just kind of came along with the tour to talk about the college and see what the market was like here, and I've really found Ohio to be totally amazing. Every city I've gone to is at the top of, there's strainspro.com, the app that the guy makes out of Cleveland. There's this Michigan Sober Project by Kevin Spittler. You go to www.misober.com, and that is a CBD dispensary that's going to be opening up in Toledo. And they've made it's basically you can use medical marijuana, not screw up your NA or your AA chip thing, because it's not going to get you high. I mean, personally, I read today at the Lloyd Museum a book from 1909.
Lloyd Library, downtown Cincinnati.
That marijuana is an excellent thing to use when you're an alcoholic, and it has been used that way. But I know that these half measures of saying, okay, this stuff won't get you high, will at least bring people in the door. And then when they realize that THC isn't so bad and is a necessary component to mix different cannabinoids, they'll get over that stigma. Like Kenny Tolia, the guy who started New York Medical Marijuana Patients Cooperative, he was a drug counselor, and a lot of his people didn't want to use marijuana because of that stigma. And he taught another course called Recovering from the Psychological Damage of 12-Step Programs. You know, because people really punish themselves if they fall off the wagon, and that can catalyze a lot of self-hate. And mm-hmm. I mean, the cannabinoid-deprived brain is already starving, you know, yeah. for to help make sense of the world.
Yeah.
So I'm just really excited that this medical marijuana here in, you know, Ohio can, and right here in Cincinnati, it's mind-boggling what you all have done and how you're buying a whole neighborhood and getting these foreclosed homes and putting the people that you want, like and love into them and community gardens. And it's just mind-boggling. Like I keep telling, and in Johnstown, there's the Apex Supercritical Company. They make what are reported to be the best CO2 supercritical machines in America that are the backbone of the entire medical marijuana infused product industry. You know, I went there. They're great guys. I mean, they were just making, they made one for a guy with lavender or something. And then some pot person bought one.
And morphed it over.
And bought another one. And they're like, why are we selling so many of these to California? And they found out why. And they're like, great. You know, we'll adapt it even better for this plant.
Yeah.
So
it's an herb.
And just the fact that there's all these farm futures running out, you know, at whenever they run out for the corn and the soy and all this nonsense. I mean, what we're trying to do is find some consultants from the Cannabis Industries Association, the Hemp and the National Hemp Industries Association, and I always forget those. Whatever, there's a guy that works with those, and he's developing some financial projections to find out, like, okay, this corn futures runs out in 3 years. Approach that guy and be like, look, you can switch it to hemp and make this much money more than corn. Don't renew the corn. Corn's out on the way. You know, he's like, well, I got an ethanol contract. We can beat it. And until you can put those kind of numbers in front of people's faces, you know. So our class, our Ohio ones, we're kind of gearing those to meet the needs of Ohio.
Well, let me say, if you, well, first of all, do you have any more classes that are already scheduled in anywhere in Ohio?
Yeah, we have Cincinnati and Detroit, January 18th and 19th. And we're just added a date in Toronto. We're working with a guy from Ryerson University up there, a Jamaican guy. So we're doing another class in Toronto a couple days after that.
Well, definitely the one in Cincinnati, possibly the one in Detroit, or the couple of them in Detroit. It just depends on my own schedule. But I don't know if you noticed, at the rally Sunday, I had my van on the square and signs on it that said this ethanol vehicle can run on hemp. So it is a prop if you want to use it. Here, we'll get together on when the class is, and especially ahead of time, so I can help promote it for you.
We really appreciate it. We love it. You know, I mean, eventually, we don't want to. I mean, we love Ohio. We love traveling, but we want the people of Ohio to just do their own CCI and make their own money on it, and then that'll help us make our books better and develop our website and just help our students more. Yeah.
So you want satellite schools in different areas.
Yeah, we just have, usually it's filled with local people anyway. There's only one or two of us from L.A. because nobody wants to hear about from the guys from L.A. They think they know everything. You know, we just tell them those basics. And I do kind of a global, all my photos and do that. I'm kind of a comic relief after lunch so everybody doesn't fall asleep. And our grow guy, he keeps getting hired to go consult and set people's grows up all over the country. And our dispensary managers, they're doing the same thing. And it's just nice to see because it goes from it might be legal to business plan to approve to they build it.
How do
and
you
it's
get
open.
The business plan?
Right. Who, you know, that action team. I mean, a lot of people get way in over their heads, like you were saying, Stacy, or earlier in Arizona. They open up a dispensary. They only have two growers, three growers to supply it. And
can't keep up with the demand.
Yeah. And you know how finicky pot people are.
You're like, where's all the growers? The 25-mile rule kicked in.
Right.
Whoops.
Well, before we end this, I want to have see if there's anything Stacy wants to ask you. I know that there was some questions that you had, and I didn't know if you got them all out or if you still had anything that you wanted to say to John.
Yeah, I think I pretty much have all the answers. I can't wait to attend one of the seminars and get hands-on experience.
Absolutely. Well, one question for both of you real quick. The Sunday event, how did you think it went? How did you think Cheryl did? And the overall reception here in Cincinnati. You got to speak, Stacy. And we both got to get on stage with Cheryl and a couple other women. And but so you're just here to this city. And so what did you think of our rally and Cheryl coming in here? And how did we do here? Since you're from the big city of California.
I mean, I was in
big country. Really.
One thing that kind of stuck with me the most is just the sort of Orwellian paranoia that hangs over a state like or a city like Ohio, because it's the only pot rally I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of them, that I didn't smell any pot at all. And, you know, I think I might have saw some action, but I didn't smell any. And it seemed like very kind of corporate, all positive, great speeches, good event. You know,
hippies.
I mean, I love hippies. I wish there was 10,000 hippies and homies and everybody there. I mean, but none of my opinion and no one's opinion on the speeches mattered. How many signatures got on the amendment? Because, I mean, what are they, 40,000 or 300 something thousand signatures? And that's what bummed me out about the rally is that hours before there was this football game thing going on and nobody was there signing those people up, you know, like
they should have got there earlier.
Well, hours is just anytime I see a group of people, I'm like, why isn't there a table signing this amendment thing there?
Well, part of the reason is the rules of Fountain Square. When somebody has a permit for use of Fountain Square, it's their event, and they can tell somebody that, oh, we don't want you doing that. It's our time. But now it's very possible that these people wouldn't have cared. It was just a tailgate party so they could watch the game on the big screen because they're not playing in Cincinnati.
Right.
And that's just one of the features on Fountain Square. So a Bengals group got it, and they had it till 5. But they should, the org probably should have thought about that, but maybe it didn't cross
their mind. Passing out posters or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just one of these things.
Flyers, like, go down and flyer them.
Now I'm seeing airplanes and thinking they should be sending leaflets all over the place. But
well,
it's just
littering.
Well, it's just so sad to see so many families getting ruined by these horrible laws. I mean, with this whole taking your kids away thing for pot is so absurd.
It is.
You know, it's just so, I can't even believe it. Especially you go to California, we're coming up probably on the first kid from California born after 2015, who's now 18. So we're going to have kids who are adults who have had medical marijuana their whole lives.
Yeah.
And black presidents for the last 8 years of them.
Yeah.
So this is a whole new reality where all this stuff is normal, and you come back to some place like Cincinnati, and people are like, oh, you blew pot smoke in the pot rally? You're going to fuck up the movement. And sure, that's true, but it's like, and it sucks. It's just a horrible reality, and people...
Well, since I'm one of the people that have put a lot of rallies on in Cincinnati, especially on Fountain Square or the courthouse, and I actually had my Damayana. I had it for the dollar donation, but it didn't get promoted, so people didn't realize what it was. That's our camouflage. So we always try to make sure people have that available, and I tell them to split it, you know, like you do tobacco. So they only smell the Damayana, but they're really getting high. So there has been and will always be some civil disobedience but with events down there, but I think because it was the Ohio Rights Group, it was their first event, especially in Cincinnati, of this nature. I could have brought Reefer Roach, who was here earlier today, in his costume. He could have came down. I could have had the big joint of Damayana that we use for parades and things like that. But it wasn't mine. I was just helping produce it and sponsor it. And I didn't want to put that element into it because they're trying to push the permit. And I won't say elevate, but it does draw in a more of mainstream than just those that are brave enough normally to come down on Fountain Square to an event like this. It's a little bit different promotion, things like that. So I think that you saw the extreme of that, and had you been to some of the ones that I've put on, it would have been a little bit more civil disobedience on.
It was more, I'd say, professional or, upper class, basically.
Middle class. I wouldn't say upper class. More middle class. Mainstream, rather. Not class, but mainstream.
Yeah, exactly.
Mainstream.
And, I always...
Because there was poor and there was
I barely listen to what anyone's saying, actually, on the thing. I listen to John's speech and a little of Cheryl. I heard a little of yours, Stacey's.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I like to go along the peripheries and see the normal people who are kind of checking it out and see what their reaction is.
But you're right. There's more paranoia here than, say, for instance, even up in Columbus, Ohio.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Way different. Yeah. The party that people like here, or the event, let me say that, the event that the regional people in this area like is my Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble that I showed you in Skunk Magazine. That's the underground, private invite only. And I can get for free, with huge promotion, 300 people to Fountain Square for free. But that Rumble, the last one was so many people, there was almost 600 people, and we ran out of judge packs, and it was almost out of hand.
What's in the judge pack?
Samples of all the entries.
Oh, wow.
Little zippies with samples that are big enough to go in a one-hitter, and their one-hitter that they get to take home with them. Yeah, it was only a $40 judge pass, and we tried to make sure they had about 9 samples at least, and everybody by the fifth one's going, oh my God, I'm so high, I don't know if I can smoke anymore, you know. And the prizes and the whole bit, and it was a great event 7 years in a row, and I've still to this day, after not having one since 2009 on, people emailing me, aren't you ever going to do the Rumble again?
And I think it's time.
It might be time, but I had a wrist break in 2009, and it kind of crippled everything. Volunteers scattered. You know how it is when the main leader goes down. And so I've not done it again. There, I was too busy during the radio production all the time. And although I don't have a lot of time, I have more time. So there might be. It's not going to happen this year, though, because it's already harvest, and this is the month that would have been happening. But maybe between now and next year, maybe we can pull it together, because there, people are just waiting. They want this private, because they know they can go there. It's fun. They can smoke pot, and nobody cares. And they can do that at my hemp fests as well, which are fundraisers after my rallies. But the Rumble is a little bit different. It's, you know, only through email, things like that, only Facebook, private stuff, and they feel way more secure, and that paranoia goes away. Mm-hmm. And that's why they like, and that's one of the reasons why this event is very well liked in this area, in that underground scene for hemp rock. And so you saw the above ground fear in this.
Yeah, and well, the coolest thing, I mean, is I had heard from people in the movement that Ohio is kind of the poster person of marijuana movement balkanization back in 2010, with a bunch of disparate groups all competing against each other to do the same thing. And I had been told by various elements that these problems were intractable, and, you know, that everyone hated each other too much to get together. And I saw the opposite of that. And I'm sure
it's no different than California. Well, everybody's got it.
I'm sure that you know the extent of all the gripes better than anybody, and I would hope you would agree that it seems like they are coalescing onto this one amendment.
That's just because people were put in a position to do it for the cause and put their differences down.
Well, whatever the reason was, at least they got past
those in that realm of drama, which, you know, I look at it this way. Certain people create the drama for other people, and it becomes drama around everybody. And people need to check their egos, stop stealing ideas from each other, stop pushing people out of the way to be the one to say they did it, even if they didn't. That's really what's going on in our movement, and I can attest to that. And so folks that don't like dealing with that will put differences aside for the cause. And I think that's what you witnessed in Cincinnati this past week.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. You know, I was really happy to see that, because it's an example for that we need for future states. And I can go to, let's say, Texas next year and say, this is what happened in Ohio. It was a mess in 2010. They all got it together. They figured it out. They talked to the hemp, to the farmers, the cotton farmers who were running out of money. Mm-hmm. That's how they, you know, you can adapt this model to the other states and pull it, you know, unless the feds switch it and we can stop doing all this nonsense.
Yeah. This is all topic for another show. So we are, I know, way over the time that you guys wanted to stay. And you guys both have to get out of here and head north to the legal state. I can't tell you how much fun it is to drive north and pass the state line from Toledo into Michigan.
Okay, much fun.
Like, woohoo!
Yes.
I'm legal.
Yes, I'm a patient.
You know, I have a California medical, which is recognized in Michigan. That's their reciprocal law, so I'm free in Michigan.
Yeah, I got mine renewed the day I left for to here.
I probably should, but I haven't been out there for a while. So real quick, let's give me your email address and information, so if people want to find out when and where the Cannabis Career Institute is going to hold seminars and classes, they can find out.
It's CannabisCareerInstitute.com, and my website is johnveit.com, J-O-H-N-V-E-I-T, and CannabisCareerInstitute.com is there, and Canamo.net, C-A-N-A-M-O.net, if you speak Spanish and are trying to get in the game. Great magazine, all in Spanish. Highly recommend it.
And wonderful. And
please sign that amendment, you know, and I'm just absolutely so happy to that Ohio Rights Group is making this happen. It was a great move to get Cheryl involved. I mean, seeing these old hippies be like, you're putting this on TV. This is just what we need. You know, it's very refreshing and so cool to see this happen.
It is
happen.
Great. And Cheryl, it was a pleasure meeting her and definitely a pleasure meeting you. And I hope to see you again. And so now real quick, can they get at your, through your information, the Marijuana Trips series?
Yeah,
on
johnveet.com. It's just all that
everything's
stuff's
there. Very good. Very good. Well, once again, thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure. And Stacy, thank you for hanging and joining in and being my co-hostess.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll get more story on what's going on with the cannabis. So if folks are listening to this when this goes up online. You're still needing a mechanic in around the Berea,
Diesel
Kentucky.
Mechanic hero, and she needs a new heart. She has a cracked head, so working on.
Oh, it
on,
is a cracked head. You figured out not just the gasket; it's the head itself.
Yeah, the mechanic said it can't for the problems that it's having. It's definitely not the gasket because the fuel's getting in the coolant, whatever. Yeah, so it's the head.
It's
so.
A cracked head. So, anybody have a diesel engine for a huge school bus? Get a hold of the cannabis, girl.
1988 GMC Thomas built. It has a Detroit diesel engine in it right now.
You know, what we should do is find somebody that has a diesel engine that's already been morphed into using biodiesel.
That would be a blessing because that's what she's hoping happens and because that's been a goal since we got the cannabis is to get her converted to
biodiesel.
Well,
you know, sometimes the universe does things to make it happen faster.
You know, David Selig from Rockaway Taco in New York City might be able to help you out with that. He supports the diesel cannabis movement. Biodiesel movement.
She needs a biodiesel.
Yeah, needs an engine
for the bus. That would be wonderful. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So you know, one engine dies, another one comes.
Replace her heart with a better one.
That's right. That's right. Now you know, just you know, I thought about this recently. I'll just say this. I don't know who the guy is, but there was supposed to be some pot activist up in Canada won the lottery. You should look him up. Up in Vancouver.
Really?
Look him up. Look up some guy up there that was, and he was supposed to be donating money to one of the causes. I don't know. You need to look him up.
Yeah.
See if you can find the guy and put that feeling out there.
He might want to give a new heart to the
bus. You know, $5,000. No, unless he's blown it all already. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go.
That happens too.
Yeah. I thank you both. And again, one more time, John Veet, the Cannabis Career Institute, Stacy Tice, the Cannabis, Cannasense. Check them all out on Facebook and the web. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work.
Absolutely. It is Hemp Rock Radio. Of course, I'm the Happy Hemptress. We'll come back after the break with some really cool music. We'll see you later.
Welcome to Medical Marijuana Dispensary Management and Strain Identification.
Great. And nice and healthy.
Jason is well known in Southern California as the bud whisperer.
The flower itself hasn't been burned. It's just been coming through the leaves.
He encourages dispensary personnel to play, what is it, a guessing game.
It's one of my favorite strains. This is the Bob Marley's Lamb's Bread.
Oh, yeah.
The wide variety of cannabis available.
Edibles, hybrids, indicas, sativas, waxes, hash.
Can be confusing.
Not only are there thousands of strains, but every grower produces different versions of the same flower.
Probably grew to 5 to 6 feet tall before it actually flowered.
As a dispensary manager, it is imperative that you acquire the best cannabis available.
This series will help you identify and assess several popular cannabis strains and products.
Taking you behind the scenes at marijuana dispensaries around the U.S.
This series will help experienced and novice cannabis professionals design and execute an efficient business and legal strategy.
It is valid.
To order your copy of Bud Tending with Jason, the Bud Whisperer, Dispensary Management and Strain Identification, Lesson 1, call 1-800-753-2240. That's 1-800-753-2240. Order online at CannabisCareerInstitute.com.
All right, the Reaper Kings, live at the river, run in. Thank y'all for coming out tonight. Thank y'all very much. Thank you. My father inspired this song to my mother. So from Charlie to Nancy, God bless you. Do you remember me? Do you remember me? Do you often think or talk about me? Do you hear this message from me? The message from me. Do you still remember things? Things that we used to do. Do you remember one time so very long ago? Do you hear this message? Do you hear this message from me? Do you hear this message from me? Oh Lord, I hope you do. Do you still remember? Do you ever think or speak about me? Do you still remember those things we used to do together? Still remember me? Do you ever think or talk about me? Do you still remember those things we used to do? Reaper Kings.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
Hey folks, this is the Happy Hemptress.
I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's show. On behalf of the Cannabis Career Institute and John Veit, we hope to see you this Sunday. Of course, that is Sunday, January 19th, this Sunday, this weekend, 2014, because it is a new year, of course. It is the Cannabis Career Institute comes to Cincinnati for part of a nationwide tour to promote jobs and business opportunities in the growing cannabis industry. John Veit, Vice President of the Cannabis Career Institute and West Coast Business Reporter for High Times Magazine, is taking his decades of experience in this field to the public in what is unquestionably a growth industry within our sluggish economy. Again, this Sunday, January 19th, at the Comfort Suites Cincinnati Airport Hotel down at the airport in Hebron, Kentucky. That's right, it is really in Kentucky, even though it is the Cincinnati Seminar. If you want more information, you can go to the CannabisCareerInstitute.com website. Again, that is www.CannabisCareerInstitute.com. You can get more information and get registered for this Sunday's seminar. It runs from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Myself and other people will be speaking and featuring information on the new cannabis industry that we can all help come forward into our lives. So again, go to the CannabisCareerInstitute.com website to register and get more information. Also, I want to let you know what that song was you just heard. It is by the Reefer Kings. That's right, Blackie White and the Reefer Kings out of Kentucky. The song is called Do You Remember Me? And I am dedicating that to Gatewood. And we all know who that is, and we love them and miss them. And I also want to inform you that a week from this coming Sunday, that would be January 26th this year, 2014, from 5 to 9 p.m., is the Campaign 2014, a grassroots party meet and greet the candidates here in the Hamilton County area. This is being hosted by Russ Hurley for Congress, Hemp Rock Radio, as well as Willie Nelson's Teapot Party. And you can come meet not only Russ Hurley, but special guest Scott Sloan from WLW Radio, as well as one of our councilmen, Chris Seelbach, and one of my favorite politicians locally, Todd Portoon, former councilman for Cincinnati and currently, for many, many years, one of our three Hamilton County commissioners. He has been supporting our movement for years, since the 90s, and in fact in the 90s was going to try to push through the city council a medical marijuana ordinance, but we ran out of time before he had to leave council. And now he's running for governor. So come meet the candidates, come meet Russ Hurley, candidate for Congress. Me, many other people, and people from the hemp and marijuana community here will be supporting this. Not only is it a meet and greet for the candidates, it is also in support of hemp, which is Russ Hurley's goal to help further the cause of legalization for not only medical marijuana, but specifically hemp for industrial and other uses. The event is also in support of the Ohio Rights Group, who is in the signature gathering phase of their petition to legalize medical marijuana and hemp in the state of Ohio. Again, they are in the process of gathering signatures, and they're going to try to get enough to put this petition on the ballot for November 2014. So if you are interested, you can go to ohiorights.org and sign up as a volunteer to help gather the signatures. You can also come to the event on January 26th at Latitudes at the Beachmont Mall to sign that petition if you are a registered voter in the state of Ohio. So again, if you want to help that cause and help get medical marijuana and industrial hemp in the state of Ohio, get out there, sign the petition, or go to ohiorights.org and become a volunteer yourself. So come on out again. That is a week from Sunday, January 26th, 5 to 9. It is taking place at Latitude Sports Bar. It is in Beachmont Mall on the east side of Cincinnati. Again, that is Latitude Sports Bar in the Beachmont Mall. And you can not only come and meet the candidates, you can come and watch the football game at the same time. And of course, Russ Hurley, who is the brain behind this event, you must know, of course, that Willie Nelson and the Teapot Party nationally and locally supports and endorses Russ Hurley for Congress. So check us out on January 26th at Latitude's candidate meet and greet. Anyway, I am the Happy Hemptress. I just want to say thanks for tuning in and have a wonderful hempy weekend, and I hope it's at the Cannabis Career Institute Seminar again this Sunday at the Comfort Suites Inn at the airport, and a week from Sunday at the meet and greet with Russ Hurley and others. Thanks and have a happy day.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse Russ Hurley for Ohio Congress.
Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
This has been Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress on
WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Find Hemp Rock Radio at WEEDRadionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on WEEDRadionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening.